Okay, one of our most important jobs in this world is to keep ourselves separate. You know, people have asked me before, and I've never really been able to give a great answer for it, as what's wrong with going to the Super Bowl? Is there something wrong with watching or going to the Super Bowl itself? And it really came into play because I just spoke to somebody who went to the Super Bowl. Not a Patriots fan, not an Eagles fan, just happened to be, he got tickets, so he went. So is there an issue? Is there something wrong with it? So the halachic aspects of the chukoseim lo seilechu, let's put that to the side for a second. Is there an issue? Is there something wrong? Or is this something that should be considered normal? So one of our most important jobs that we have here is to keep ourselves separate from the nations around us. For that reason, we have the minhag that eventually became a din of wearing a kippah on our heads. This obviously was not something from time immemorial. They always wore something on their heads in some way, shape, or fashion. But it seemed from the times of the Gemara that covering one's head constantly with something was something done by the tzaddikim. I know people wore tefillin all day long. I'm not sure everybody wore tefillin all day long. There's no question the tzaddikim did and the chassidim and the great people did. But did everybody do that? And covering the head, for now, is an absolute must. It's an absolute must. It keeps us separate. It makes us look different. And in certain situations, of course, like my father always told me when we went downstate Illinois, he would always wear a hat instead of a kippah because he knew there was tremendous anti-Semitism. If you're a lawyer and you know that the judge is going to go against your client because you're wearing a kippah, clear, every situation is its own situation. Is it usher to not wear a kippah when you know that your parnas can be affected by it? Rav Moshe is very clear on the matter. Rav Moshe says very clearly that there are certain things that you can, certain things that you can't do. It's very clear on that. Tzitzis. Let's take away the Gemara Menachos Memalef aside. Is a person chayiv to wear tzitzis every day? The likelihood is yes. Yes, even though you'd have to buy a four-cornered baguette in order to do so, the chiyuv seems to be there. But it became the chiyuv. It sort of became this way. And wearing the tzitzis out, which the Mishnah Berurah says, but the Chafetz Chaim apparently, according to Rav Gusman, never did himself, right? That sort of became our ureisimoso, which is a kiyum of the pasuk. But is that a chiyuv? Is there a chiyuv to wear your tzitzis out? Possibly not, if the Chafetz Chaim didn't do so himself. It's possible that the chiyuv is that you wear the entire tzitzis out, not just the strings, just to have the entire beged showing as much as it can be. And it's possible that's the chiyuv when it comes to it. We have almost sort of taken it as a, I don't want to say it in such a, you know, such a strong way, but a chok v'lo yavor, that tzitzis and kippah and peis. And pay us to be able to even make a macha publicly. This is a deal raisa. Forget about that. But the minig of putting pay us, having pay us grow down and to put it behind your ears, or to have pay us growing out to become edim, like the Sfardim have, right, or chassidim, with the certain type of anxiety. There's no question there's minhagim when it comes to these things. The question is, what's the din when it comes to that? Baruch Hashem, there are Jews that are makbid gomer, that they make sure that they have these three aspects to themselves, the payas, the kippah, and the tzitzis. When it comes to this, and I've said this before, who knows? La'asid lavo, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and says, why should you be saved out of your gullus? And then in Mitzrayim, it was because we didn't change our clothing, we didn't change our names, and we didn't change our language. And here I'm speaking in English with an English name and clothing that was made by non-Jews. And maybe it's three different aspects, three different minhagim that we took upon ourselves, that we took upon ourselves and said, this is it. And maybe it's kippah, tzitzis, and peis. Maybe there's others that come into play. I don't know. I don't know if this is something that's there. But we have to understand that the more we act and look and feel like the nations around us, the more we're affected by, in our decision-making, by what they do and the way they are. This affects us. This makes us different. It brings us in the wrong direction. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah mentions around the first parak throughout, but it's really above Zion Ches, going to theaters, going to museums, going to stadiums, circuses that belong to non-Jews. What's the issue? The issue is you're hanging out with them. So is there an issue with cheering when they're cheering? No, but on the other hand, yes. When you get up and you're saying yeah with everybody else there and slapping five with the non-Jew who's next to you, It just makes you a part of him. You guys have a relationship with one another. And it could be that you're more close to him than you are to another Jew. And that's just sad. And I know it's on the outside, it's not on the inside. But that still means something. That if you feel, let's say, you're a Bears fan. You say, like, any Green Bay Packers fan, that person, I can't have anything to do with it. You mean to tell me that some drunken loon in a bar in the middle of downtown Chicago is closer to you than somebody who's a Jew who goes for the Green Bay Packers? Does that make any sense? And I know, like, no, obviously, that's not what I mean. But on the other hand, that starts to affect you. That starts to be something for you. A movie theater can be infectious. And that, what I mean by that is, once you go in, and everyone else is laughing, it's very difficult for you not to be laughing along with everybody else. It's why people go to movie theaters. You can just download it on your computer whenever you want. I think everybody understands that, right? Illegally. But you find a way, and you go this way and the other. If a person wanted to watch a movie and he goes to a movie theater, there's an experience by going there. You're paying for the ambiance of the movie theater, of everybody around there. You don't go to a movie theater by yourself. You go with a bunch of people. So is it us to go to a movie theater? No. But it's strange that you're laughing with the other nations. You're crying with the other nations. The emotions are hitting you right there. You sit there. It's like the solidarity of a hat of a baseball team that you have, or that you both went to that together. I remember going to a movie when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, going to this movie in which it was all African Americans and me. Me and a friend of mine who actually looked a little bit African-American, so he didn't get called out for it. But I was the only person who came out. I figured it was like one of these regular things, like a regular whatever it was. And I was 12, 13 years old. That's my parents why they let me go to this. But it was something. And it was, I felt to me, like I felt different. This is not a racist thing. Just everybody was laughing in the same, everybody together, and I felt completely different. And it really shook me at that time. Because there's an experience that you have when going to these things. The Super Bowl and the parties that come out from it, is there anything wrong with them? Listen, we're not getting into the Bittul Torah aspect. We're not getting into the concept of what the Super Bowl stands for. Simply put, is there anything wrong with them? No, there's not anything wrong with them. But watching it together, even if you're just a bunch of from Jews, to be known as, we are the people that are watching the same game as the rest of the world. We're watching it with 500 million people, however many people watch the Super Bowl nowadays. That I'm just like all of those people. To make a stand and say, I'm not going to be like them is so important. And I'm doing this on purpose. I'm saying this after the Super Bowl's over. I don't want to affect anyone's decisions or to make people think that they're going to the Super Bowl even though I'm telling them. I'm not telling you not to. I'm telling you what it does to you. You're creating a solidarity between you and the people around you. You're saying, this is what I do. I do like them, like what they do. Is there an Isser behind that? Rav Moshe in his piece on Thanksgiving talks about this in Chilek Ches. Is there a piece? Is there some type? Maybe there is, but that's not the point for you. For the point for you is that your thought process, your thinking process, you're starting to feel like what they are, what they're doing. And we have to be different. That has to be something different. This is not a shiloh. This is not a halachic idea of what we have over here. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're speaking about the hashkafa behind it. And the hashkafa behind it is it fun? Yes, it's fun. Is it chukos hagayim? That's questionable. I don't know if it's chukos hagayim. That might be a machlokas achronim and try to understand how chukos hagayim works. Is it something that you should do? Well, that already is the issue. Is this something that's there? I've got nothing else to do. I'm off a Seder anyway. My teacher canceled my class. So I have those hours. Then what difference does it make if I spend it watching this game? So I hear you. I hear you. If it's about, no, I'm watching the game, maybe that's different, then maybe I'll try to see whether that type of idea is something that you have to ask on an individual level. But the concept behind it, Yosef Atzadik came down to Mitzrayim. And we see something strange that happens to him. He dresses like the Egyptians. And we only know that after the year was up. And when he was given, after 13 years, after he was given the clothing of Paro, his name is changed. Tzafnas Paneach. Which seems to be an Egyptian name because of the pays involved. Pay and ayin. which is throughout. We talked about that before. Shifra, Pua, Paro, etc. Potiphar, they're all around there. So Tzapnas Paneach seems to be an Egyptian name. And he's speaking Egyptian. We know that because when the Shvatim came down, there was a translator in between them. And yet Klal Yisrael is known as being the nation that stayed away from their language, the clothing that they had, the names. The Klal Yisrael stayed away from it. There's a lesson here. There's something behind it. Why is it that Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef who stayed away, that he's known as the person that was there? Now I know, it's out of order, because everything we know about Yosef happens 13 years later. But Yosef HaTzadik is the one, out of everyone there that we see, that was stuck in an issue of Arias. When a person is involved in the nation around them, and this is not putting blame on Yosef HaTzadik, Chas V'Shalom. He's put in a situation that most 17-year-olds would never have been able to pass at all, let alone what he was able to do. But you're thrown into a situation and you change even a little bit. That's when Arias jumps up and tries to grab you. That's when all of a sudden something like that happens. Because Klal Yisrael was separated in these three things, there was another thing they were good in. Arias. They were careful about Arias. They stayed away from Arias. And Yosef HaTzadik is, you see that Chazal are telling you, it was the opposite. By all of these four Maimari Chazal, which there really is no Maimari Chazal that puts the five together with Lashon Hara together, but the Maimari Chazal throughout, that if you look at all of them, you have five all together, you see that Yosef HaTzadik did not succeed in those three, and therefore had an issue with Arias. And again, it's out of order, but the concept that they're trying to tell us is just that. Yosef HaTzadik's children were affected by this. Whether that's the reason that the 30,000 B'nai Ephraim who left with Yignon because he was a false prophet, brought them out of Egypt and were killed on the way to the Plishtim, whether it was because Yosef felt more of a citizen, those children became more citizen-esque, or maybe even further, according to one parish that I saw, and I'm adding to this, I don't want to quote it incorrectly because I didn't look it up directly before this. There was a parish that says that the four-fifths of B'nai Yisrael that died in Mitzrayim, how did the Egyptians not know that four-fifths of B'nai Yisrael died during Makas Choshech? How could they not have noticed that 12 million people were dead? Say, because these Jews were so assimilated, they had changed themselves to be like the Egyptians so much, you couldn't tell they were Jewish. God knew they were Jewish. And those 12 million people that died were Jewish Egyptians, or better yet, Egyptian Jews. And they called themselves Egyptians. They acted like Egyptians. They looked like Egyptians. It could be they were even involved in the Makos, that the Makos happened to them. And in Makos Choshech, it wasn't the Jews in Goshen who were separated from everybody that died. It was the Jews in Mitzrayim who were part of the Mitzri nation who died. You see what happened? That the people started getting involved, and look, they're so assimilated you couldn't even tell the difference. Rav Elchanan has a piece on this, a beautiful piece, but not for now. The true key to do anything when it comes to this is to act like a godly Jew. And whether that means that you're going to take a stand, publicly or privately, here is what I'm going to do to make myself different, that's up to you. I would hope that you'd be willing to take a stand when it really comes down to it, when there's an affirmation of what you feel and how you hold when it comes to certain things. But it's all about trying to live your life purely as a Jew and understanding you have a job and you have a tachlis, a tafkid, something that should lead your life instead of you being pulled and fitting your tachlis or your tafkid around it. If you're being run, you're being ruled by your desire to watch something, to hear about something, to know about something, and you're finding yourself there after everything is said and done, it's a problem, and I think we all know that. We have to lead ourselves in the right direction to make sure that we're going in the right direction, to consider ourselves an Am Kadosh, a Mamleches Kohenim, a kingdom in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees us as separate, different, good people with plans and ideas. And then to add on one thing or another, because listen, at this time I need a little bit of a break, that's one thing. But for it to be all about this and everything just surrounds this, everything goes around, I find that to be problematic. And I hope that you find that problematic too. That there's something where we need a goal. We need something to rally around. That being the Kedusha that we have, the Torah that we learn, and everything else we do. And when that is the goal, that's the goal, the end goal, where we want to be, then everything else comes with it. Then you're able to be a true Yehudi, a Jew who happens to live in the U.S. right now. That's the concept of what we want. Have a good week, everybody.